In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Rejoice and be glad, for this is the day which the Lord hath made, and it's also the day in which our brother Lewis Wirth had died. It's the anniversary of his death. And you say, why rejoice and be glad? Because we have good signs from God that he may be in purgatory. So we really do believe he is in purgatory, and certainly that's a moment to rejoice in. And today is the ninth month, and it's the 24th day, and it's the year 2015, and it's the fifth weekday. It's the feast day of Our Lady of Ransom. And we all came together, especially on this day, to pray a Holy Rosary for our brother Lewis Wirth and to offer up the Mass prayers. His grave is right here on our property, on Mary's Little Ranch. We go over there and give him a blessing and pray for him every day. So we're doing a lecture on this day also. We have most of the brothers here with us. And the lecture is titled, Muslims Invade Europe. We're going to talk about this great refugee crisis that you're reading about all over the news. And you can see how God is punishing Europe with these Muslims. They're actually invading Europe without a gunshot being fired. You realize how many like battles they fought to keep the Muslims out? The Crusaders and all these battles over the years. And usually the Muslims are coming in through the perimeter of the Holy Roman Empire, like through Hungary and the Slavic nations over there. And it's happening again, only this time it's happening by a refugee crisis and they're walking right in over the borders. And this is a punishment for the European nations because they got away from the Catholic God, and it's a scourge. But it's extremely unjust. It is wrong. Any European nation accepts these people coming in, and the manner and the way in which they are coming in is an absolute idiot against the natural laws committing suicide against his own nation. This is what we're going to talk about here. We're not against people taking in refugees who have a legitimate cause, such as they're being persecuted and they're in danger of death. We're not against doing that, okay? First of all, most of these refugees that are coming from the Middle East and from North Africa are not in danger of death. They're economic refugees, which means they want to come into Europe to have a better life because they have better goodies. They can get a lot of stuff on their medical care and all that. So they're economic refugees. They're not under threat of death, first of all. So most of them are not even legitimate refugees. If you are a refugee from a war-torn area, which some of these people are, and they're trying to come into a neighboring nation for help, they have no right to make demands of that nation. The way you're looking at these people making demands of the people in Europe, all right? They're making demands that are unjust, that are rebellious, they don't want to obey, they're wicked, and it shows a rebellious attitude. Hungary's the smartest and the most wisest, least evil of all the nations because they're at least blocking these people out because they will not put up with this. Because what's happening, according to their rules even, the European Union, they say when refugees come into the European Union, the first nation that they come into, they have to be fingerprinted, they have to take pictures of them, and they have to interview them to find out why are they here. Are you an economic refugee? Or is it because you're being persecuted in danger of death? That's the rule. You don't just let people come over the border for any reason. You don't even want to have a record of who they are. What country ever allows people to just come over their borders unannounced, not telling you who they are or where they're living, and you have no record of them? The United States does this too with the Mexican immigrants. They let them come over the borders without checking them. This is against natural law. It's a suicide against the nation. No just nation would do this. The way you treat them is you put them in a minimum security camp. You don't let them come into your country and just wander wherever they want and start walking all over the place. And we're talking about, folks, right now, 500,000, and I think they're expecting millions. They already have about 500,000 of these immigrants coming in from the Middle East and from North Africa, and they're flooding Europe. And the ones that you're watching that are coming in from the Middle East into Greece and from Greece up into Hungary, and they're all trying to get to Germany. We're going to talk about what led them here. That bastard in Germany, Merkel, that Freemasonic whore, that bum. If I was a German citizen, I want to throw her out the window, what she's doing over here. She invited them over. She embraced them. She'd come over to Germany for a better life. We'll give you better jobs. Do you realize when you take in that many refugees and the Hungarian guy, the prime minister, his name is Viktor Orban, said something very correctly. He says, if we let these many refugees come into Hungary and we treat them as citizens, we're going to destroy our national identity as Hungarians, and we're going to dilute the Christian identity of our nation. Now, it's not a true Christian nation. It's only nominal Christian. That's why they're being punished. But nevertheless, when you let all these Muslims in here, you're going to have a predominantly big population of Muslims now merging in with these European nations and diluting their national character. I think there was one of these other nations in Sweden. I don't know if it was Sweden, maybe Denmark or one of them. I forget which it was. But they said, we have so many refugees and people coming into Sweden now. When you walk around the streets, you don't even know you're living in Denmark or Sweden. Or it's all Muslims. It's all people from Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq. People from North Africa, Libya, you don't even know it's our country anymore. So there's a legitimate complaint. Secondly, you don't want all these Muslims moving and living in your country as citizens. They're going to populate and you're going to have a whole bunch of Muslims living right in your country and causing a whole bunch of trouble. That's definitely what you're looking at. All right. And plus the fact that when these refugees are coming in, they don't want to be fingerprinted. They don't want their pictures to be taken. They don't want to be locked up in camps. Where they're taken care of, three meals a day, places to sleep. They don't want to be locked up in a camp. They want to go to Germany so they can have this life that Merkel's promising them. Good jobs, good positions, good homes. Merkel made this promise and it got out to all these people and that's why they're coming. They're all trying to go to Germany. I said in the beginning when this was happening, what they all should have done is just bust all these people into Germany. Just go ahead, take them. You're the one who started this mess. Take all of them. And now she's even getting in trouble now because she knows she can't even take them all. Even logistically speaking, you can't handle all these people and feed them and take care of them. But we're talking about a refugee people that are coming here that are rebellious bastards. I saw the news reports on what's going on. These people are trying to say, we want to put you in a minimum security camp because you're not allowed to just run wherever you want. And so they said, no, we don't want to be put in a camp. Excuse me, do you want to go to the Waldorf Astoria? You want us to put you up in a nice motel? You want us to put you up a nice fancy home, each one of you? You're coming into our country as a refugee, and if your life is in danger, you got no right to make such demands. You should thank them that they're willing to take you in, give you three meals a day, give you a place to sleep and a bed to lay on. If you're really in danger of dying, that's all you would be happy for. But they're not. They don't want that. They want to live in fancy homes. They want to have the best kind of a life, and they're making demands on these European nations. And they're yelling at them when they don't get their demands. They're getting very rowdy. They're getting radical. And they're yelling. The Hungarians are the only ones that did the absolutely right thing with these people right in the beginning and understood this is wrong. These people are rebellious. They're not listening. They're going against the European laws even in which we have to fingerprint. They're letting them come in, not even knowing who these people are. You could have a whole bunch of terrorists coming in over the border. But even if there were no terrorists coming over the border, you want to know who's going to be in your country and who's living there? And if you let these people come in and stay in your country, you're going to dilute down the whole country. You already got a lot of Muslims living in Europe. You got a whole bunch more coming in now. And these people are not willing to obey the laws of the country. If I was in danger of death and I went to a neighboring country, I'm in no position to make demands. If they gave me just like three meals a day and I was able to survive and I lived in a shack, at least my life is not being threatened. But that's the point. Most of these people, they're over here for economic reasons. They're coming to New York because they want to live the dream. They want to have more money. They want to have fancy homes and fancy cars. And they want to live off the goodies that the state gives them. That's why they're coming over here. And another point, too, with these Muslims, then they start yelling at Hungary. We don't like the Hungarians. We don't like the Croatians now, nor Serbia, because Serbia and Croatia is blocking off the border. And they're saying how, and they almost compare it to like it's an anti-Muslim thing. You Christians are going against us Muslims. Well, guess what? These people that were coming from the Middle East were Syrians, Afghanistans, Iraqis, and Pakistanis, right? They're not coming directly from their countries, a lot of them. A lot of them were in refugee centers in Lebanon, Turkey, and Jordan. Their own Muslim people were taking care of them in refugee camps, and they weren't happy. So they were already in a refugee camp. Why did they leave? Because they weren't fed well enough. They didn't have fancy homes. They didn't have nice places to stay in. But you just say they weren't fed well enough. I look at these people. They're not skinny. They're not emaciated. They were being fed where they were in the Middle East, and they were in refugee camps. And in Lebanon, they were living in a little bit of a nasty kind of neighborhood. It was. I mean, they had plywood houses and all that. It wasn't that great. But who are you to complain? What is your option? Go back into wherever you're coming from and get killed? So you should be happy, whoever takes you in, that they're even at least feeding you. But these people are greedy bastards. They want to have everything. They're coming over here for all wrong motives. And you're fleeing from your Muslim people that set up these refugee camps. So your Muslims in Jordan and in Turkey and in Lebanon must be anti-Muslim. It's not a Christian-Muslim thing when it comes to that. I know the European nations aren't truly Christians, but they should not let this many Muslims into their country because they are going to definitely turn it upside down. And the other thing that they said, too, is about in Germany, especially, she's inviting them over, and they're saying stupid things like, well, this is going to work to our benefit. Our population in Germany keeps going down. And you know why? Because they practice abortion, contraception, and they have feminism, where women aren't working, and they have homos, so they don't have no population anymore. So, okay, you're going to let the Muslims come in and populate your place. Logically, what's going to happen then? After a couple years, you watch. It's no longer Germany anymore. The whole identity of Germany is destroyed. You got taken from within without even a bullet being fired. And see, a lot of people in Germany noticed, but Merkel said this stupid statement. All these refugees, when they're coming home, they call her Mother Merkel. She loves us. Good. Send them all to Germany. You take care of her, Mother Merkel. Even she had to slow down the border and start checking these people because they couldn't even handle it. Even logistically wise, but the German people rightly so are angry at her. This is a death to me. I don't know how she's ever going to get reelected again for what she's doing over here. It's the stupidest thing in the world. You never let people come in your country and let them make demands of you and tell you where they want to go, when they want to go, where they want to live, and how they want to work. What kind of crap is this? And they're trying to make it look like the Hungarians are bad guys or the Serbians and Croatians for not allowing these people in their countries and trying to kick them out. The proper way to handle these refugees is to put them in a camp, fingerprint them, take their pictures, find out who's a legitimate refugee because they're in danger of death, those you keep in the camp. And the camp, you don't let them walk around wherever they want. You don't give them jobs when the citizens, you don't let them mingle with the citizens. You keep them locked up in their little ghetto. The other ones that are economic refugees, you send them back. If they don't want to accept it, get lost. Get out of here. Then you wait for the crisis to end in Syria or Afghanistan or Iraq or whatever caused them to be in danger of death, and then you send them back. That's what you do. Right? But this is a plot to destroy what's ever left of Europe, any semblance of the even nominal Christian Europe. It's a big punishment from God. Europe deserves it. But still, it's not right. The Hungarian people, and I think their president's name was János Adar, and they're doing the right thing by building up a wall, because they weren't listening to them. They don't want to go into the camp. They kept breaking through the barriers. And the Hungarians were being, to me, if you ask me, they were being way too gentle with them. I don't get gentle with people that rebel. I'm not gentle with them. I'm sorry. And they're doing it because if they filmed them doing what they should have done, which was beating with batons, right? If they get really bad, you shoot a few of them, the really bad ones, and you watch how quick it stops. So the Hungarians, what they figured, that's going to look bad on TV. They're going to turn us out to be bad guys. So they built a big fence and at least try to keep them out with the fence. And properly, they just say, now if you come in over this fence, we're going to lock you up in jail. And you should lock them up in jail. They were trying to bust the wall down and climb over it. And Hungarians were spraying pepper spray. And they're saying, oh, they're tear-gassing the poor people. You got to look at these people when they get going. They are vicious. They're like, it's like the inner city radical blacks when they get going. They're ready to bust you down and kill. They're yelling at them because we're human beings. We're human beings. Big deal. You think I'm stupid? I know you. I'm a human being. What does that mean? I don't care a human being. Human beings are evil. Human beings can be good. They can be evil. That don't mean nothing to me. That gives you a right to come into my country and walk wherever you want and go wherever you want and not listen when I give you orders. I'll break your ass if you come to my country like that with that attitude. I'll break your ass. I'll kill a few people in the front to stop you from rebelling. And I'll tell you, now you're going to go into the camp. I'm not saying to not help these people, but if you put them in a camp, a minimum security camp, and you're feeding them three meals a day and they're in a comfortable bed, what do they got to complain about? What do you want? Your own Muslim people weren't treating you that way in the refugee camps in the Middle East. They weren't treating you that way. So yell at your own Muslim people. And some of the people at least smartly said in this European Union that we should actually then give more money to these Turkish and Lebanese and these Jordan people and let them feed them a little better. But first of all, Jordan are living pretty good. Lebanon, it was kind of nasty, but they were still living. And Turkey's probably pretty good. And none of them was emaciated and skinny. So you weren't in danger of death. This whole thing is just proof of the Antichrist deluding and destroying Europe even more and more as we go on. The Muslims have invaded Europe. They're invading it right now, and you're looking at it right now. Now, you also have the refugees coming in through two sources. They're coming into Greece from the Middle East, and from North Africa, they're coming into Italy. And the ones that are coming in from North Africa are the Libyans, the Ethiopians, from Sudan, from Yemen. And you got the ones coming in from the Middle East, from Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan. And who's the one that created all this instability over in these areas? The United States. They destabilized all these areas by taking out governments that were able to keep law and order. Gaddafi, Saddam Hussein, they took out the government in Afghan, and they're trying to take out Assad in Syria, but they haven't succeeded in doing that, but they created a humongous civil war. So the United States destabilized all these areas and caused this whole crisis. But it's also the European Union was backing us, so they all deserve it. It wasn't just the United States. You had England and France participating in all these invasions, these illegal, according to God, invasions in the Middle East where the United States is going in there and asserting their authority and knocking out any government that might be a threat to Israel. Any government that has an organized military, that has an organized infrastructure and economy is a threat to Israel. The main purpose of those battles from the Antichrist and the devil's perspective is to totally destabilize these areas, to let happen what you're seeing today. When you have a country that's being run by rebels and you have civil war, and there's no one ruler ruling it, they're not a threat to nobody, really. They're not a threat to no major power because they don't have any organization. They don't have any organized army. Israel knows that. If they can just destabilize these people like that and let them kill one another until kingdom come, if Israel wanted to walk into that nation, they can just walk in there overnight. But when a nation's organized, like Saddam Hussein's Iraq and Libya, they're a little bit harder to go in and take. They have weapons, they have an army, they're a little more of a threat to Israel. Now, the United States went over there with the intention that we're going to try to turn them into democracies and pro-USA, pro-Israel. But that didn't work neither. It's not really working, all right? So the second thing, which is just as good for the Antichrist and even better, is, well, then just let it stay the way it is, destabilized. Let chaos reign. Keep supporting each side so they keep fighting against one another. That's why a lot of people believe the United States created ISIL, and I believe it. ISIL is really benefiting the United States in the long run. They really created ISIL for Syria, to destabilize Syria and to fight against Assad, but they flowed over the borders into Iraq, so they may not have wanted that to happen, some of the people in the United States. But the Antichrist did. He wanted it to happen. Because once that whole area is destabilized, they're no threat to Israel. Israel can just walk into these people whenever they want. But Europe's being punished because they're right on the perimeter of this thing, but the United States should even get punished too. They came out and everyone's trying to do their good deeds, you know. I think the United States said they're going to take in, how many did they say? 10,000 or 20,000. Yeah, it was something stupid like that. We're talking about 500,000 people already are over here, and there's going to be millions. So they said, we'll take in like 20,000. Oh, yeah, that's like a drop in the bucket, right? Then the apostate anti-pope Francis I, the apostate anti-dope, which I'm not going to talk about him right now because I'm going to do a lecture on him coming up in a week or two called The Harlot Visit the Harlot. This guy's an abomination. He's speaking out, take care of the immigrants, the poor immigrants. It's your duty to take care of these poor, innocent people. So he did his share. Oh, he did. He took in two families in the Vatican. You big, big lying, deceiving bat. Two families? Two families? You want to help these people? You want to point your finger at Hungary and Syria and Croatia and Serbia? I will turn these 100 or 200,000 of these refugees on Rome and let them loose. And then let's see what you do, big wise guy. Big talker. Instead of yelling at these refugees and telling them, you must behave when you go into these countries. You must listen to what they tell you. You must go into the minimum security camp. Let them fingerprint you. Let them take your pictures. If you're an economic refugee, please stay home and don't come over here because you're not in danger. Only those who are in danger of death come over here. Do you hear him saying any of that? No, he says, open your borders to all these people. Let them go wherever you want. What person will let somebody come into their own home and take it over and go wherever they want and do whatever they want in your own home? Who would let somebody do that? This is not what he's talking about. He's part of the plot, this monster. Him and his poor people crap. He thinks poor people are all good because they're poor. You realize most poor people are evil, just like rich people. Almost every poor person I ever met was a rotten bastard, full of sin and all evil. His phony baloney pie stinks to the high heavens. I don't want to go off on him or I'll be doing another lecture. But here he is saying, I took two families in. Whoa, excuse me. Why don't you invite at least 100,000 into Rome and then I'll believe maybe you're trying to do something. And even that would be stupid. But that's what these people deserve. And he doesn't condemn the United States and all these other people that started these wars and destabilized the whole area. And the press is always behind there building up these stupid sentiments. They had that dead baby on the shore, right? When they were coming over from the Middle East and they were coming from Syria into Greece. And I guess some of them die, of course. And they had a picture of this little dead baby on the beach. And that did it for everybody. Oh, we have to take care of these refugees. Oh my, look at this baby. What are we going to do? And they makes them all feel guilty, makes them sympathetic to their refugees. We got to let them in. It's idolization of infants. This is a big thing. They always love to show the infant thing. If you want to get somebody to demonize them, show they killed an infant or is a dead infant. Or if you want to show people that you're really a good guy, you're like this apostate anti-pope dope that go around kissing 20,000 babies a day. They think he's good because he kisses all these babies. We got an idolization of infants going on here, folks. You realize every infant's born and with original sin, a son of the devil, a co-heir with the devil? He's not good. He's evil. And unless he's Catholic and baptized, if not, he's evil. And God kills infants just as he does men, women, and children. Anybody who reads the Bible knows that. You don't question God when he kills an infant and sends him to hell. Because in God's predestined mind, because he knows that infant's heart, he knows that the infant is ultimately bad and he'll end up going to hell. God knew that Judas was an evil bastard and was a little infant before he was even born. God knows the disposition of the infant. And my point is when you look at the infant, I don't just look at a little innocent kid. He's not innocent. I look at a little kid that's got demons in him, guilty of original sin, in the clutches of the devil, and can be a very evil bastard when he grows up. They see this little dead baby on the thing and they start going crazy. Did they go crazy when Israel was killing the babies in Gaza, the Palestinian babies? Did they go that crazy? Or when the United States drops a bomb when they're invading Iraq and kills a whole bunch of infants, but they never show it on TV? Just show one infant and that makes everybody feel guilty. Open up our borders and let them come in. It's sappy. It's not even realistic on the natural law. Even a pagan that has a little bit of natural law doesn't get it overly sentimental about stupid stuff like that. It's the way the devil's playing with these people. But they're being punished over there. And this is one way of God punishing Europe. Because Europe is nominally Christian. It's not a true Christian nation anymore. And now you have all these Muslims invading you. And if you let them in there, in a couple generations, they're going to outnumber you. And it's no longer a nominal Christian nation. It's nominally Muslim. And they're going to start causing all kinds of rebellions there. You watch. Mother Merkel. Mother Merkel, you stupid jerk. If I was a German, I'd want to assassinate you. I want to throw you off the highest rock. I'd torture you for what you're doing to the country. Who are you? Are you a German? I don't think so, because you don't care about your own nation. Are you a Christian? I know you're not a Christian. You're a nominal Christian like the rest of them, but you're even worse than the others. She's a Freemason. She's working for the big boys, or she would never be where she is. But she's worse than even some of these other ones in Europe. She's the one that invited him over. I said, the Hungarians were trying to do the right thing and the Serbians were trying to get these people fingerprinted, but they're not listening, so we're going to kick them out. Because in the beginning, I said, why don't they just send them over to Germany? But the EU laws, whatever country they come into first of the European Union, they got to be registered. So they were trying to register them. But I would say, forget the laws, just send them to Germany. And now even Germany had to close their borders or at least check their borders and start checking these people now. And they're not even allowing them to go wherever they want in Germany even. They had a thing on TV where they always bring up the neo-Nazis. It's not just them. It's your average German citizen that's angry at this. And they're right about it. They don't want these people taking over their neighborhood so it doesn't look German anymore. And it's full of Muslims. It'll ruin the whole neighborhood. But the proper way to handle these people, and the reason why I say they should be treated extremely roughly, is because they're not obeying any country they go into. I know if my life is in danger and I can go to my neighbor's house and he can take care of me, a neighboring city, and they're willing to take care of me, I'll say, you can put me in a tent as long as my life is safe. Give me some food every day and throw me in a tent and I'll be happy. They're not. They're coming here for economic purposes. And Europe is just going down the tube even more quicker. Anyway, actually, a lot of credit has to go to the Hungarians at least. They're doing something right over there, more than these other people at least. So maybe they're cooperating with God's grace more than these other people. But I pray that all these people in Europe will start to wake up and see what's going on here and realize that all this is happening because you deserve it. It's a punishment from God. And you're not just nominal Christians. Europe used to be Catholic. It's mostly nominally Catholic even. And because you're God's fallen away chosen people, he's punishing you. Can't you see what's happening here? Can't you see the people that's ruling your countries and everything? Unless you get back to the true Catholic God and a true Catholic faith, there's no hope. First of all, to save your immortal soul, and there's no hope for you to come out from under this mess that you're under in Europe right now. Europe is going down, so I'm warning you. It's slated for destruction. The Antichrist is going to destroy every church, every cathedral, I think everyone. Maybe God will let a few stay up, but I think he's going to destroy every one of them. That's what you've got to look forward to. So I tell you people in Europe, owe you 20% maybe to have a little bit of goodwill now. And out of that, I don't think maybe 10 or 5 or 2% will ever be saved. Listen to what I'm telling you right now. Condemn your leaders. There's no salvation coming through them. Get back to the true Catholic faith. Listen to what I'm telling you. All right? Hold on to the full deposit of Catholic faith and defend it. I'm not going to discuss everything that we have on our website right here. I'll be here for another 3 hours. But look at my website and all the things I teach here. We're the only Catholics I know about in the whole world. Us here at Mary's Little Remnant. Us few people. And the whole faith is being taught on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.